Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Davivienda's first quarter of 2021 earnings conference call. Thanks for joining us today. I hope that all of you are safe and healthy. Moving to slide three, I would like to talk about the macroeconomic environment we face right now. During the first part of this year, we have observed some positive events in the world economy, driven by the effectiveness of some vaccines and economic evolution in the United States, given its leadership in this process, improving growth expectations. In addition, demand for raw materials has increased due to the behavior of the Chinese economy showing a positive effect on the prices. In this sense, the improvement in U.S. growth has increased inflation, which has generated an increase in treasury interest rate, dollar appreciation, and increased risk premium for emerging countries. When looking at Colombia's economic evolution, we observe better growth in the first quarter, driven by the increase in oil prices, lower mobility restrictions, and a base effect compared to last year's GDP. Nonetheless, economic expectations and business confidence have deteriorated by the social unrest generated by the fiscal reform and the social impact that the pandemic has developed on the most vulnerable groups in society. Demonstrations have affected the regular activity across the country, decreasing growth expectations for the second quarter. In response to the events, the government withdrew the fiscal reform bill and is working on a new proposal that is expected to be the fruit of consensus. This fiscal reform is a critical factor for Colombia's public debt dynamics, and we will expect a net increase in revenues worth at least 1.3% to 1.5% of GDP. However, the final proposal is still under definition, and it is still too early to quantify its potential impact. Despite this, we trust in the stability and independence of the economic institution in Colombia and highlight that the debt management by the Colombian government has been exemplary throughout history. Considering all the above, our GDP expectations for this year are around 5% compared to the central bank's expectation of 6%. Moving to slide four, we can see the highlights of the macroeconomic situation in Central America. In 2020, Costa Rica was the country with the lowest economic contraction, while Panama showed the most relevant impact derived from the COVID-19 pandemic. During the first quarter, the regional economy showed better activity in all countries where we operate. Economic dynamics in the United States contributed positively to the region growth, as we observed a higher flow of remittances in El Salvador and Honduras. Also, lower mobility restrictions during the first months contributed to the increased economy activity. However, the increase in oil price, the increase in infection rates, and the speed of vaccination rollout in the region might impact the recovery path. Moving on to slide five, I will briefly walk you through the highlights of our financial results. In the first quarter of 2021, we generated 101 billion pesos in profits, increasing over the quarter due to lower financial expenses, lower operating costs, and higher income from change and derivatives. On the year-over-year comparison, profits were impacted by higher provision expenses and lower financial income, both explained by the COVID-19 pandemic. Our consolidated loan book expanded by 1.4% in the quarter to 108 trillion pesos. Both mortgages and commercial loans show with positive dynamics. Regarding the net interest margin, we saw a compression of 20 basis points during the last 12 months, while the central bank interest rate decreased by 250 basis points. Investment income mainly explained the contraction in the last quarter. On the other side, we present the official capital adequacy ratios under the new standard adopted by the beginning of this year. Our consolidated CET1 ratio reached 11.81%, and our total capital adequacy ratio stood at 16.68%. On top of that, last month, we became the first Colombian financial institution to issue a perpetual Basel III compliant Additional Tier 1 bond in the international capital markets. The principal amount was $500 million, with a bid-to-cover ratio of around 3.5x. The order book was composed of investors from over 26 countries, demonstrating the confidence of the international market in Colombia and the financial sector. Continuing to slide 6, I would like to update you about our digitalization path. Our digital initiatives continue to gain traction as transactional and commercial tools. Digital sales represent 52% of the total sales, showing a positive trend during last year. In addition, monetary transactions through our digital channel increased their participation from 38% last year to 52% of the total monetary transaction. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, digital deposits, loans, and investments showed relevant increase over the year regarding digital product evolution. This year, we will continue working on this digital transformation path, using technology to leverage our commercial potential and increasing our ability to offer more competitive products and solutions to our customers. Moving on to slide 7, DaviPlata, our digital native bank, continues to show positive results as well. Our customer base increased around 600,000 customers during the quarter, reaching 12.2 million. In this way, we continue to attract customers from other banks to use DaviPlata as a transactional platform that becomes an opportunity for the bank to offer them all of our services and products. The outstanding balance in digital deposits reached 503 billion pesos, increasing 2.1x compared to 2020. Transactional income during the first quarter reached 22.4 billion pesos, increasing 3.9x the amount generated in the first quarter last year. Also, transactions and e-card showed positive trends during the first part of this year. Purchases processed through the e-cards, QRs, and API reached close to 84 billion pesos, increasing 4.9x compared to the previous year. In this sense, moving on to the next slide, I'm glad to announce the launch of two new features in our platform. Seeking to contribute to the economic reactivation, last month, we announced a social seller functionality called Mi Negocio, or My Business in English, where entrepreneurs can create their own digital business channel with their DaviPlata. The e-entrepreneur will display their product offering on a digital platform at zero cost, allowing them to leverage sales, share their catalogs easily through the social networks, control their inventory, among others. Also, they can receive their payments directly to their DaviPlata accounts via direct transfer, QR code, or interbank transaction. On this front, we have a serviceable available market of around 600,000 mom-and-pop stores and over 1.2 million social sellers. We aim to reach around 300,000 new customers in the following years. On the other hand, we also launched a marketplace where we seek to offer DaviPlata's customers non-financial products and services to buy quickly and easily with their DaviPlata balance. We started with 35 different brands in diverse categories such as restaurant, clothing, digital content, and we continue to increase our offer going forward. With these new two functionalities, we aim to increase the activity of DaviPlata and promote economic reactivation in Colombia. To end my presentation, I would like to say that there is a considerable uncertainty in the periods ahead. This year will be more challenging than we expected after recent weeks in Colombia. we should see some short-term impacts on the cost of risk, NPLs, and low growth. Now, let me turn the call over to Mr. Pedro Uribe, our International Executive Vice President, who will provide you with further details on the bank's financial results.
Thank you, Efraín. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to join you today. Please move on to slide number 9, where we will analyze the assets evolution. Total assets slightly decreased over the quarter, mainly due to lower interbank funds and derivatives, reflecting lower counterparty operations and movements in the trading portfolio. When compared to March 2020, assets decreased by 2.6%, mainly impacted by a decrease in the loan portfolio. When excluding the exchange rate's annual revaluation, assets remained stable during the year. The investment portfolio grew around 2% over the quarter and close to 16% over the year, mainly due to mandatory investments, as we have explained in previous calls. Gross loans increased by 1.4% during the quarter and compressed by 1.1% over the year. We will see the details of this behavior on the next slide. Our loan loss reserves closed at 6 trillion pesos, decreasing around 6% over the quarter. This is explained by the quarter write-offs and despite the provision expenses made during the quarter. Write-offs total 1.7 trillion pesos in the consolidated operation. However, on an annual basis, our loan loss reserves increased by 30%, reflecting our consistent provisioning efforts in line with the expectations we have previously shared with you. Colombia's assets showed a compression due to the lower cash, interbank funds, and derivatives, while our international subsidiaries' assets decreased in dollar terms, mainly driven by lower interbank funds. Let's move on to slide 10, please. Gross loans increased by 1.4% quarter on quarter, mainly due to the dynamics on the leasing and residential housing segments within the mortgage portfolio and to the FX impact, mainly over the commercial portfolio. The consumer portfolio decreased due to lower disbursements as well as write-offs during the quarter, which were resumed after a year of lower than average write-offs related to the relief measures. On an annual basis, the loan portfolio decreased by around 1%, explained by two reasons. First, the commercial book decreased as a result of a base effect related to a specific disbursement during the first quarter of the last year, as well as prepayments and write-offs during the fourth quarter of the year 2020. Second, the consumer book was also impacted by a base effect related to high growth rates seen before the pandemic, together with what we explained earlier. Excluding the exchange rate revaluation during the year, gross loans would have increased by 1%. In the international operation, the commercial portfolio increased by 1.1%, mainly driven by El Salvador and Costa Rica, and the mortgage segment grew in El Salvador and Honduras. Moving on to slide number 11, you can observe how reliefs have been evolving since the beginning of the pandemic. By the end of March, around 8% of Colombia's loan portfolio and 10% of Central America's loan book were under some kind of relief. In Colombia, the Debtors Relief Program, or PAD program, will be in place until June this year, so we might see loans under relief stabilizing within the 7 to 10% range of Colombia's loan book. In most of our international operations, we are offering structural solutions on a case-by-case basis and will continue to offer special collection measures until June if that is needed. In these countries, loans under relief continue to gradually decrease as the programs end. Regarding the underlying payment behavior of these relief loans, in Colombia, around 89% of the portfolio is up to date, and the proportion of past due loans over 90 days is 3%. In Central America, around 94% of the portfolio is up to date, and past due loans over 90 days account for 1%. Even so, we remain cautious about the evolution of this portfolio, as the coming contagion waves in the different operations could further impact the economies on top of the current situation in Colombia. Please move on to slide 12, where we can see the evolution of past due loans, cost of risk, and loans by stages. As you can see on the top left table, the total PDL over 90 days decreased over the quarter as we resumed write-offs mainly in the consumer portfolio after a year of lower than average write-off processes due to relief measures and a synthetically up-to-date portfolio. The commercial portfolio PDLs increased mainly due to customers in the air transportation and construction sectors. The 120 days PDL for the mortgage portfolio returned to slightly higher levels than before the pandemic, reflecting the increase seen earlier on the 90 days PDL and the end of the relief periods. Although recent behavior shows these ratios already stabilizing, we do expect them to remain around current levels, at least during this year, due to the portfolio's longer duration. At the bottom of the slide, you can observe our cost of risk, which closed at 4.1% for the last 12 months and 4.2% for the first quarter. Provision expenses reached 1.14 trillion pesos. This comes in line with our guidance and with our stages distribution, where both stages 2 and 3 present a decreasing trend, while stage 1 gains weight over the total. This is explained by new disbursements, mainly in the mortgage portfolio, updates on commercial customers' credit ratings due to better 2020 results, and the write-offs already explained. Coverage by stages remain at adequate levels, as you can see at the bottom right of the slide. Now please move on to slide number 15. Funding sources grew 0.6% over the quarter and decreased close to 4% over the year, in line with the loan portfolio behavior. When excluding the exchange rate effect, funding sources decreased by 1% quarterly and by 1.3% annually. Low-cost funding sources remain growing, as shown by demand deposits behavior, while term deposits remain stable during the quarter. Bonds increased by around 6% quarterly due to a 700 billion pesos senior issuance in Colombia, as well as instruments issued in Costa Rica, while decreasing on an annual basis as a result of the FX effect. The outstanding credits reduced compared to both periods due to payments of obligation with foreign entities. Regarding our funding structure, deposits are now accounting for around 77% of total funding, which has allowed us to take advantage of lower financial expenses. I would like to invite you to slide number 14, where we want to share with you the details of Basel III implementation. As of December 2020 figures, and under the previous regulatory capital requirements, our CET1, or Common Equity Tier 1, was 8.26%, and our total capital adequacy ratio was located at 12.31%. By implementing Basel III methodology, our pro forma figures for 2020 results as follows. Our CET1 increased by 370 basis points, while our total capital adequacy ratio increased by 451 basis points. As we have mentioned in previous opportunities, these impacts result from the inclusion of current and retained earnings, other reserves, and full goodwill deduction into the equity. A more precise measurement of risk-weighted assets by considering the types of assets, credit ratings, and collaterals. The inclusion of capital requirements for operational risk. Taking into account the business evolution and with official numbers as of March 2021, our CET1 closed at 11.81% and the total capital adequacy ratio at 16.68%. This leaves us fully compliant and with quite comfortable levels over the fully loaded requirements shown on the right side of the slide. 7% for the CET1, which includes the systemic and conservation buffers, 8.5% for the Tier 1, which adds to the 81 new minimum to the CET1, and 11.5% of total capital, which accounts for the Tier 2. Moreover, as Efraín mentioned before, we recently issued an 81 instrument aiming to improve the quality of our capital structure and to anticipate Tier 2 maintenance, while leveraging our business growth and digital initiatives. This issuance will officially compute into our second quarter figures. However, under March pro forma figures, the inclusion of this bond takes the total capital adequacy ratio to 18.53%, allowing us to reach similar capital levels to our regional peers. On slide number 15, the gross financial margin decreased when compared to both periods, impacted by lower financial income. The low interest rate environment, portfolio mix changes, and higher competition led to a decrease in loan income. However, our loan NIM remains resilient, compressing only by 9 basis points over the year, taking into account a monetary policy rate decrease of 250 basis points in the same period in Colombia. Investment income was also affected, as the rates upside movement impacted the portfolio valuation. However, it is important to note that the investment income does not include our hedging strategy results, which compensate for this impact as well as we will see in the coming slides. On the other hand, liabilities continue to reprice, as shown by financial expenses decreases of 10.5% during the quarter and over 30% on an annual basis. Yet, the 12-month net interest margin ratio decreased 20 basis points, closing at 6.08%. Provision expenses closed around 1.14 trillion pesos, decreasing 4% over the 4 quarters expense, while increasing 28% annually. Consequently, the net financial margin closed at 571 billion pesos, decreasing compared to both periods. Please continue to slide number 16. The first quarter's expenses decreased by 7.6% due to lower administrative expenses in Colombia and our cost control efforts. On an annual basis, OPEX increases by around 3%, impacted by IT and digital expenses. 12-month cost-to-income ratio closed at 46.9%, slightly decreasing over the quarter. I would like to go to slide number 17 to analyze the bank's profits. During the first quarter of the year, operating income closed at 367 billion pesos, slightly increasing over the quarter and 17% over the year, thereby reaching higher than pre-pandemic levels. Operating income recovery during the last couple of quarters is explained by the reactivation of some fees, higher transactions and billing activity, as well as insurance premiums. Changes and derivatives income closed at 204 billion pesos, increasing over 100% over the previous quarter and around 70% annually, reflecting our hedging strategy for market movements at the exchange rate devaluation while compensating for investment income losses. Net profit for the quarter closed around 101 billion pesos, substantially higher than the 4 quarters profits, but decreasing around 55% over the first quarter of 2020. Our return on average equity for the last 12 months closed at 2.2%, while the return on average assets was 0.2%. To finish the presentation, please move on to slide 18, where we will share with you our updated guidance. Given lower growth expectations in Colombia, resulting from the pandemic and recent social unrest, we remain cautious and are updating the numbers and general trends for our business this year. However, we continue to closely assess the situation as there remains high uncertainty and will update our view if needed throughout the year. We expect our consolidated loan book to grow between 5 to 7%, mainly explained by the following behavior. 5 to 7% growth in the commercial portfolio, moderated growth in the consumer segment between 4 and 6%, and an increase between 9 to 11% in the mortgage book. The 90-day PDL ratio should remain around 4% during the year, and we see a slightly higher pressure from the consumer and mortgage books. We expect our cost of risk to close the year at around 3.3 to 3.6%. Regarding margins, our NIM, net interest margin, should end the year at around 6% due to assets repricing given a low rate environment and higher competition, and lower room for a decrease in liability expenses. Changes in asset mix due to the growth in the commercial portfolio and lower investment income, as we have been mentioning in previous calls. Our operating income should increase over pre-pandemic levels as alternative income sources through our strategic alliances and other investments take place. As part of our efficiency and cost control efforts, we expect to end this year with a 3-5% OPEX growth, which includes our digital and transformation projects and initiatives. Finally, our return on average equity should locate between 5-7% for 2021. As for our capital ratios, we expect them to remain stable, and we are pretty comfortable with the levels obtained from the Basel III implementation and our AT1 issuance. In general, these are the results we have prepared for you today. At this time, we can move on to the question and answer session. Thank you for your attention.